morning we'll look at these verses that Richard has mentioned. Those verses in Hebrews chapter 11 that have to do with the faith of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as a stranger, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This entire 11th chapter has to do with people who have not turned aside from their service to God. They're not perfect people. All of them have sinned. Some of them made some very bad mistakes in their lifetime, and yet they didn't quit. And this is the message that Paul wanted to send to the Hebrew congregation. Don't turn your back on God's work. Don't walk away from God Almighty and His plan for you and your life. And above everything else, don't abandon the assembling of yourselves together. I'm sure that the people were getting anxious because their meeting together was getting the attention of the authorities, not only the Jewish authorities, but also the Roman authorities. And persecution was imminent. And these people felt it. They'd grown weary of doing so much sacrificing and yet not seeing anything clear cut come out of what they were doing for God. Pretty typical circumstance, really, when you think about it. There are times of victory, there are times rejoicing, but there's a lot of time in between that deals with, shall we say, almost drudgery. And I know we ought not to ever view God's work that way, but sometimes we just have to keep on doing what we've been doing, even when it's not exciting. When it may not be personally rewarding, we just keep on doing the things we're doing because we know it's right. We know it's what God wants us to do. We know it's what the Bible teaches, so we just keep on doing it. You say, well, what's that, preacher? Well, that's what we call faith. And that's what Paul's trying to show these people, that by faith, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith, and faith is two things to just people, that is, to people who have been justified. It is the foundation of our decisions. What is the foundation of my decisions? What is the foundation of your decisions if we're living by faith? Well, it's faith. What is the evidence that we see? The evidence that causes us to know that we're doing what God wants us to do. Well, it's faith also. Faith is the foundation. Faith is the evidence. It produces the evidence. It is the evidence. And so, when we begin to look at faith, what is faith? Faith is believing. Faith is believing God so strongly that we do what He says. And a faith that is not strong enough to obey is a dead faith, so James tells us. By faith, the elders, that is, all those people who have gone on before that have served God, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. We've looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah. Now Paul uses this man, Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. The word called here means simply to summons. God spoke to Abraham. God summoned Abraham. God invited Abraham. And the Bible tells us that God invited and summoned Abraham to go to a place that he would later give him for an inheritance. And when God summoned, the Bible tells us that Abraham obeyed. It has in it the idea of listening, and listening intently so that one can understand all the instructions and therefore obey. Abraham heard God when God spoke, and he listened intently to the instructions of God, and when he clearly understood God's plan, God's will, God's instructions, then he moved from the country where he had been reared, where he had accumulated great wealth. He went into this place of God's bidding. And the Bible tells us that he went out, not knowing whether he went. God didn't say, I want you to go 400 miles south, turn left at a fig tree, then you're going to be in this particular part of the world. He didn't give him any specific instructions as to the specific place where he would be going if he obeyed God. He went not knowing, that is, not comprehending, not understanding. By faith, Abraham, on being called, obeyed the command to go forth into a place that would be his, and he set out not knowing where he was going. He was going to a place, but he didn't know where the place was. Now, the call of Abraham is recorded in Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 9. It has more in it than Abraham's call. It has in it also his covenant, that is, God's covenant with Abraham. But there are two things that we need to understand about Abraham, and that is that Abraham called. The Lord said unto Abraham. The Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out unto a land that I will show thee. And then we read, so Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Simple, not dramatic. Stars haven't fallen, earthquakes haven't occurred, trumpets haven't blown. Abraham, who evidently is a believer in Jehovah God, hears the command of Jehovah God, discerns what this Jehovah God, this one God, would have him do, and then departs. Simple? Well, we sometimes talk about simple faith. And faith is simple. But it's simple only if we're so devoted to God that we're willing to do without question and without quarrel and without argument what He commands and teaches us to do. It's simple, but we complicate it when we begin to ask for signs. We complicate it when we begin to make excuses. We cause it to be very, very complicated when we try to discern the things that God has in store for us before we ever consent to do it. We get curious about it. Abraham didn't say, now God, I think you want me to go to this particular place. I think maybe it's over here. But that is, after all, not a really pleasant place to live. I wouldn't want to rear my children under those circumstances. Abraham obeyed. Abraham departed. Abraham understood. And that's why he's listed as a man of faith. In verse 9, the Bible tells us that Abraham sojourned. Abraham obeyed by faith, and Abraham sojourned by faith. And that word means to dwell alongside, to be a foreigner, residing in a foreign country. Abraham sojourned. It's strange that God said, I'm going to give you land, and then Abraham went to that land, and then Abraham lived in that land as a stranger. Now you think about it. Abraham, when he got to the land that God had shown him and had called him to, we would think at least should have said, now I'm at home. Now I'm in this place that God has given me, and all these are foreigners, and I am at home. God didn't call Abraham to be at home in the land that he would give him as an inheritance. He called him to be a stranger in that land and to look upon himself as a foreigner in that land. And this is the way our pilgrim fathers viewed their stay on earth. It's the way the writers of the scriptures viewed themselves as strangers, as pilgrims, as foreigners, living in a strange land where the customs are not ours, where the values are not ours, where the language, if you please, and the dress are not ours. We are colonies of God's people. And our real citizenship, so the scriptures tell us, is in heaven. That's how Abraham viewed himself. He was obedient to God. He went to this place and he sojourned as in a strange country, as an alien country, not his own, as in a land that did not belong to him, dwelling in tabernacles. He never built a permanent home in the sense of using stone or even timber. When Abraham went to the place that God showed him, he continued to live in portable dwelling places. He continued to live in a tabernacle, a covered shelter, a tent, if you please. And there were others who were his heirs who also lived in this manner. Very same manner. He lived in tents like a mere visitor. Even though he was in this place where God had brought him, he was in this place where God had directed him. And now he ought to be saying, this is my home. I live here. The rest of you people will have to leave. Abraham didn't have that attitude, and the Bible tells us why. The Bible tells us that he looked for a city which hath foundation. The word look has in it the idea of not only viewing with the eye, but also possessing patience, and therefore waiting expectantly to be prepared to deal with a situation when it arises. And it seems that Abraham, living in that land where God had promised him that he would have as an inheritance, that as he lived there, he realized that there was still another place of permanence. And so he never really digged a foundation. He really never built a log home, a stone home, because he was expecting God to speak to him at any time and lead him on to another place that would be a continuing place. And so Abraham lived looking. He lived expectantly. Even though he was in the place where God wanted him, he sojourned by faith for a city. The word that's used here to translate city means really a closed-in place, a walled city, if you please. Not just any city, but a walled city. Now you think about Abraham and all the experiences that he's had and the age and years that he has reached, and you think about him in his mind seeing a walled city and living all of his life expecting to come someday to a walled city, a great city. And it's described as whose builder and maker is God. The word builder means one who does or handles a thing by the rules of art. So we're talking about a skilled artificer. Not just some building that someone started adding to here and there, but this city, this laid out city, this city that has been skillfully designed, whose builder and maker, that is handicraftsmen, people who are skilled at their labors, have put it together. In fact, this word maker is used in Greek mythology to describe the one who made the earth. So it's not just any builder, but whose builder and maker is God, and which hath foundation. And the word foundation means laid out. When we think of Washington, D.C., we think about a city that was planned and laid out and then people moved into it. And that's what Abraham had in mind. That's what his faith saw. Whose builder, that is, whose architect, whose builder and maker, that is, the one who constructed it, is a skilled artificer, and whose foundation is planned, it's well thought out, and it's walled. Now, by faith, that is the city that Abraham looked for. But the Bible tells us in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, and were persuaded of them. They had seen them afar off. They had embraced them and had confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They really were strangers and pilgrims. They were looking for a city where God had built and designed and whose foundations was well laid. That's what they were looking for. And it was such a reality to them. It was such a real part of their lives that they never lost sight of the fact that that's where they were going. Now I want us to look now at the faith of these people. Probably ought to say the object of their faith or the city that they looked for. And that's what Brother Polk read about this morning. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, there we see that city. That's the city that Abraham looked for. That's the city he died, not having ever seen, but died in faith, embracing the fact that that city existed and that someday he would see it. He had seen the country or that place that God had called him to, but he had not seen the city. Now the city that Abraham saw is a city that's in a better world. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This new city that Abraham saw by faith and died in faith, not ever having gone there or seen it, is not going to be built on this earth. This earth is going to melt with fervent heat. It's going to dissolve. It's going to melt away. It's going to be taken away, destroyed. And then God is going to create a new heaven, and God is going to create a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. So the new city is not going to be on this earth. There will be a pseudo new city built through the instrumentality of the Antichrist. It'll be that great city of wealth, a great city of medical achievement, great city of sin, great financial center of the world called Babylon. And it'll be the Wall Street and the darling of all of the merchants who live upon the earth. It'll be the Antichrist's fake New Jerusalem. And it'll be destroyed. The earth will be destroyed. And we can see the great cities of the world collapsing inwardly. There's not a single place right now that any of us could say, why, that looks like that'll be the city of God. Crime in our cities, inner cities filled with every manner of evil and filth, deserted by all but those who are the most desperate of humans. Of all the places I wouldn't want to go, it's a city. And yet my destiny, my eternal destiny is a city. But it's a city that's built on a new earth and in a better country. In the 16th verse of Hebrews chapter 11, still writing on the same subject, but now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. So this city will be on the new earth. It'll be in the country that the Bible calls a better country. But now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. And it'll be a better city. Hebrews 12:22 tells us, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now notice how Paul describes this city that Abraham longed for and looked for. It is Mount Zion, the place of God's residence. It is the city of the living God. It is the heavenly Jerusalem as opposed to the earthly Jerusalem represented by Hagar. It is the heavenly Jerusalem represented by the true son of Abraham. And it's referred to in the same book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 14, as a continuing city. For here, that is, on this earth, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The word continuing means eternal, without ever diminishing. We'd like to be in a circumstance where things do not diminish. Where they're not diminished by time, where they're not diminished by sin, where they're not diminished by greed, where they're not diminished by any principle or process that exists on the earth. Here Jesus spoke of our lifetime as being spent among things that rust, among things that rot, among things that decay, where thieves and robbers can steal, where we can be broken into And this continuing city is a sin, is a city where there is nothing that will ever diminish it. It will continue as God, who is the architect and builder and the one who laid it out, it'll be just that way forever. It's a continuing city. And I believe that at this time, it's being built. Jesus said in John, the 14th chapter, that we're not to let our hearts become overly filled with trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. And I don't know of any of us who do not need that kind of assurance from our Savior. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart get filled up with all of the problems of life. You believe in God. That's faith. That's the faith that Abraham had. That's exactly what Abraham did. He believed God. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true or so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is the builder, that God Almighty is the architect, and that Jesus Christ at this very present moment in time is building the new Jerusalem. It isn't going to be built on the earth. It's going to descend out of heaven and take its place upon the new earth. And I'm convinced now that Jesus is building the new Jerusalem. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Now here's the way to the new city. The continuing city. The never diminishing city. Here's the way to that city that every man and woman of faith has seen and died expecting to see, has died in full assurance that it existed, died in full assurance that it was real, and died in full assurance that someday they'd dwell there. The way is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the city of the living God. You say, Brother Penn, what's the purpose of all this? Well, here's where we're going. A new earth and a new city. And behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. That is, God now will dwell on this new earth. God will dwell with us in the new city. And they shall be his people, that is, God's people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, here's what we've all been waiting for. Abraham died, and his family wept. There have been tear-stained cheeks on the face of humanity since Adam and Eve sinned against God. And there are tears in our congregation, people who hurt not just physically, but hurt inside, whose hearts are broken, whose lives have been in many ways spoiled. We think of loved ones who've gone before us in death. And in our mind's eye, we see them even now and remember them well. We believe in God. But there's still pain and sorrow and sickness, and there's still weeping. But the ultimate act of Almighty God at the end of the millennial kingdom, when this earth is destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth are built, and then this new city is located in this new country, and all of God's people are there on this new earth, and we can come and go into the new city, when all of that has come to pass, then the ultimate of man's desires will be fulfilled. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. A city without death. A city without tears. And a city without sorrow. And a city without crying. And a city without pain. For all these other things have passed away. And the Bible says that he that sat on the throne said, "Write, for these words true and faithful." We've had a summons and a call, an instruction from God. Abraham obeyed. We can obey. And we can sojourn in this place, viewing ourselves as transients and pilgrims, as colonizers, just doing God's work, God's way, and waiting for the call. Our loved ones aren't at that city right now. It hadn't been brought back to this old earth, and it won't be. It'll be a new earth. But all in God's plan and all in God's wisdom, when everything has been brought to pass that God wills, and all the faithful of God, all the faithful, all of God's people, the just people who through Christ have found justification in the sight of God, will move on to this new heaven. This new earth, rather, and be a part of this new city. And it sounds fairy tale-ish. Not many people out in the world believe that. They've got some sort of mixed up, perverted view of what heaven is like. They don't know how real it really is, what all's involved in it. Do you have faith? Can you accept that city? Just live your life here, submissive to God, doing His will, living for Him. Just waiting to move out. Waiting for God to move it down. It's real. It'll happen.